Just praise the Lord for His goodness to us and the privilege we have of being in the worship of God. You know, that's a wonderful thing, is to be in a place where we can worship the Lord, our wonderful Savior, our God, our King, everything He is to us. I want to talk this morning about how we need God, how we need Jesus. You know, there's just a lot of people, they don't think they need anything. They just going along, everything's just fine, they don't need anything. But I'll tell you, dear ones, we need God. We need Jesus. We need salvation. We need help. We need guidance. We need understanding. We need wisdom. We need power. We need courage. We're needy, all of us. And all you children, maybe you think everything's going fine for you and you're having a big time and you got a lot of toys and you got a lot of games and all that. But I want to tell you the main thing you need. You need God. You need God in your life. You need Jesus. You need His wisdom, His guidance, His help, His salvation, His mercy. It says over here in verse 17 of Psalm 40, it says, I am poor and needy. I am poor and needy. That's what you are. That's what I am. I am poor. Poor means destitute, without any means. We're just pitiful, poor people. You can't even breathe. You can't even live without God. If God would see fit, He'd take your life away from you. We need God every moment of our lives, dear ones. May the Lord help us. I am poor and needy. We have that spoken of in other places too in the Psalms. I am poor and needy. Another place it says, I believe it's Psalm 34 and verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble. This poor man, I tell you, when you get poor and needy and you realize that you need help, and then you start calling on God and God helps you, that's a wonderful thing. Oh, that's a wonderful thing to get help from God. I think about Brother Austin Wilson years back in the early 40s. He's living at Anthony, Kansas, and he worked up in the courthouse there. He did some work up there, and he was a minister there too, had a little congregation. And anyway, he come home one night from his work, and his wife, Sister Opal, was bowed over with stomach trouble. She had lots of stomach trouble back in those days, he said. She was bowed over and just suffering with her stomach. And he come on in and he walked over to her and he laid his hands on her and he prayed and she didn't get any better. And he just prayed again and she still didn't get any better. And he said, I was about two-thirds sick myself. And he said, I just went in the other room and lay down on a couch over in the other room. And he said, I just was so burdened. He said, I was so poor. He said, here I couldn't get help to my wife. I prayed twice and I couldn't get no help. And he says that got to be a real burden to him. And it's a heavy load. And he just laying there feeling so bad. And he said, all of a sudden, it just come into his heart with a bang. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Oh, he says that just inspired him. That just strengthened and encouraged him. He swung his feet off of that couch, and he went into the other room, and he went up to his wife and put his hands. Now, Lord, he said, oh, that poor man. I prayed twice, and I couldn't get any help. And my wife needs help. And I'm that poor man, and you said that this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his trouble. He said, that's about my prayer. He said, my wife got up, went in the kitchen, and started getting dinner. Oh, dear ones, he said, I got poor all of a sudden, he said. I tell you, dear ones, it means a lot to you to realize you need God. A lot of people don't think they need anything. I want to read about over here in Revelation chapter 3. It spoke about there was one of the congregations that Jesus was writing to. And It says here in verse 17, it says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with nothing and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's what they said. That's what a lot of people say today. I don't need anything. I don't need to go down to that altar. I don't need to pray. I don't need to repent. I don't need to get saved. And they do. You don't think you do, but you do. You need salvation. You need help. You need grace. You need guidance. You need instruction. You need understanding. You need light. Oh, dear ones, all these things we need today. You don't might think you need anything. You think, well, I've just got plenty of money and I've just got a nice house and I got a nice car. That's nothing. That's nothing. That's just a bunch of bunk. That's just a bunch of trash that's going to perish. What you really need is a real thing. You need God in your life. You need to get right with God. You need to pray. You need to seek the Lord. I'm rich and increased with goods. I don't have need of anything. I never did anything wrong. You know, that's the trouble. A lot of people are just sinful and evil and they don't even realize it. People, we're living in an age that people are unconscious of what sin is. And God has given us His law, His word. He gave it to Moses to help us to see where we are lost, where we are undone. But if we don't open our eyes and open our minds, we're not going to see it, and we're not going to feel like we need to be anything. Listen, if you realize how weak and how poor and how sinful and how needy you are, you would be down at that altar as soon as you have an opportunity. Because you would be needy. I need you, Lord. I need you. I tell you, I know. I was young one time. I was a young boy. And I was just kind of getting along. And I knew I needed to be saved, but I was letting other things hinder me. And that's the trouble with a lot of people. They know deep in their hearts they need to get saved, but there's all kinds of other stuff the devil is putting in their minds. And that's the way I was. I was going along, and I was just getting along pretty. I was a senior in high school and all that. And one night out there at our home, I was out running. I had got a... From a box top, I got a little instrument that would tell you how far you ran. And so I was trying it out in my around my yard and the road and everything. And I was just running and seeing how this thing would work. And put it on your belt and tell you how far you went, you know. And so I thought I was doing pretty good. And I was running, and it was twilight time. You couldn't hardly see. You know, you could see, but you couldn't see real good. And I didn't see a guide wire of an electric pole that was come down. And I was running at top speed, and it caught me right here in my neck. And I was going top speed. And it flipped me down just that quick on my face on the ground. And when I got up, I was bleeding from the mouth and the nose. Oh, I knew I was in trouble. Oh, I tell you, I got up. I ran to the house. I ran to my mother. I said, Mama, I've hurt myself. And she said, oh, come on and lay down here. So she laid me down. She began to get the towels and things. And it just kept on bleeding. It just bled and bled. Oh, she called Brother Porter, Brother O.C. Porter, the pastor of our congregation, called him and his wife and daughter. They came up and started praying for me. And I kept on a bleeding. Oh, I want to tell you, I was in need. I was in trouble. And I tell you, I was doing business with God. Right while they were praying and all, I told said, Lord, if you'll stop this blood, I'll live for you. I'll give my heart to you. If you stop this blood, I was begging the Lord. Not outwardly. It's just in my heart. I was just praying, Lord, help me. Have mercy upon me. I need your help. I just kept on bleeding and bleeding. But you know, after I made that promise that I would give my heart to the Lord, the blood stopped. Yeah. Oh, I needed God. God was there. God was good to me. Oh, dear young people and children, God loves you, but He wants you to know you need Him. You might think you don't need Him, but you do. You need Him every hour. And I thank the Lord that He stopped the blood. And I didn't get saved right away. Maybe I should have, but I should have, really. But I did, but I remember that promise. And that summer, I came to the place where I was ready to give up and surrender. And I knew I needed God, and I began to pray. I prayed everywhere I went. I was working for my uncle out west of town, working on the farm, driving the tractor, pulling the double disc and all that, working. And I was out working on the tractor, driving the tractor. I was a praying to God. Lord, have mercy on me. Save me. Help me. Oh, I knew I needed God. And then when I'd be going home on a weekend out, living out where my folks live, I'd be driving and I'd be praying as I drove. I prayed and prayed. And you know, I finally got to the place where I knew the Lord had forgiven me and He had saved me. I knew I was right with God. And I began to live for the Lord. That was 54 years ago. I'm still saved and I'm still happy. But I still need the Lord every day. I need Him every day. All these people said, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And they said, you don't know that you're miserable. You're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You don't realize that. People don't realize they're naked before God. They need clothing. They need to be clothed with the garments of salvation. Oh, may the Lord help us today. I tell you, Brother Austin's also told about a time when they lived in California. And he said some folks wrote from up down around San Francisco area. They wrote to him. They lived down towards Los Angeles. And they wrote to him and said, our mother is, her mind is kind of bad. And we just thought maybe if we'd send her down to your place, maybe you could be with her in the church. They didn't have a congregation up there. And so we just thought we'd just say, it'd be all right. We'd like to send her down and let her stay with you. And so he wrote back and told him, and said, well, all right, well, come on, send her on. And so they sent her on and started staying with Brother and Sister Wilson. And the only support this little woman had was her old age pension. That's all she had. Well, she got it in her mind that she didn't need it anymore because she had a job here with the church. So in the transfer, she didn't get her check for a month or two. And one day, the welfare woman come out to check on her. So, and it happened to be that Brother Austin was gone in a meeting somewhere, and Sister Opal was out. Somebody had died, and she'd gone over to see about him. So this old lady was there by herself. Well, then the lady come from the welfare. She came and told her what she wanted, what she came for. She's going to check on her, see, getting everything. Oh, she said, I don't need any pension now. I don't need any pension. I've got a job with the church here. And I don't need any pension. I don't need any pension. Well, the lady just, well, okay. She just took that, wrote it down, and went on back. Well, Sister Opal come in, and the lady told her about it. And Sister Opal, she says, well, she called down there and made an appointment for the next morning to bring her into the office. Well, she said when she got in there, the lady really did give him a line that time. She says, I don't need any pension. I don't want any pension. I'll never need a pension anymore. I've got a job with the church here. And I inherited a big bunch of money from my granddaughter down in Texas. Well, they really did. She really did give them a line that morning. And Sister Opal said, that's not true. Well, she said, this is her testimony. We've got to take her testimony and run it out. And that woman was about 3 months without the support that she's supposed to have had. About 3 months, all because in her mind she didn't need it. But she still needed it. Because that was all the support she had. And Sister Opal wrote Brother Austin about it, and he kind of chuckled a little bit, he said, and he wrote her back and he says, "Alas, alas. How many people are that way spiritually? They don't think they need anything, but they need everything. They need support. They need salvation. They need to be forgiven of their sins. Well, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm a good person." Nobody can really say that in truth. There's no one that has not sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nobody. I don't care who you are and where you're from and how smart you are and how much your bearing is. You are not without sin. And you need to be forgiven. And if you don't get right, if you don't get your sins covered and get your life straightened up, you're going down to an endless hell. Somebody said, "Well, I don't believe in hell." Well, all right, you don't have to believe in anything. Just go ahead and live to this old present life and have your big time. But one of these days you're going to come up and realize you needed the Lord and you didn't get Him. You need the Lord. We all need the Lord. We need prayer. We need help. We need wisdom. Any man lack wisdom, he says in James, let him ask of God. He giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it'll be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And well, we need more faith. Lord, help me. We can ask the Lord. The Lord can increase our faith. One man in the Bible and his little boy was in a bad order. Had his terrible spells. The old terrible, the devil was on him. And the disciples, he brought him to the disciples. And the disciples, they tried to help but couldn't help him. Finally, Jesus came along. And Jesus said, bring the child to me. And he brought him. And he said, how long has this been going on? Well, the man said, since he was little. But he says, if you can do anything, please help him out. Jesus said, if you can have faith, it can be done. He says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Dear ones, we need help. Did you ever stop to think about that word help? That's a wonderful word. Help. I want to give you another scripture in Hebrews chapter 4. I love this. This is one of my special texts. Hebrews chapter 4 and starting at verse 14. Seeing that we have a great high priest. Did you know you got somebody that can help you? He's at the right hand of God in heaven. What's he doing up there? He died for your sins. He gave his life for your sins so he could be forgiven. And then the Lord raised him up from the dead. And then he set him up at the right hand of God in the heaven. That's where Jesus is. What's he doing up there? He's listening to you and me pray. He's got his ear on you. That's all Jesus is doing right now. That's all he's done since he went up there 2,000 years ago. Listening to people pray. Isn't that wonderful? You need him. You need to go to him. You need to humble yourself. Have you prayed today? Has everybody prayed today? Oh, you need prayer. You need prayer. Oh, I think about one man. He said to me, he says, I don't need any prayer. Don't need to pray for me. That man needed it more than he even dreamed about. Oh, dear ones, Lord, help us today. We have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. He's gone up to the right hand of God. Do you believe this? There's a Savior, a Redeemer, a high priest. That's Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our confidence. Let us hold fast our rejoicing, our hope, our holding fast Him. Let's hold fast to our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as you are, yet without sin. You know, Jesus was in this mortal body. He was in this frail, earthly, corruptible body one time. He met the temptations of the devil. He met the scorns of the world. He met the allurements of sin. And He overcame it. He was victorious. It said He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He overcame. He was victorious. Now what do we do? Let us therefore come boldly. He's at the right hand of God. He can give you help. You sisters in heaven, in your home with your children, if you need help from the Lord, get down on your knees and pray. I know you're doing it, but keep on doing it. Oh, I remember when our oldest boy that was living, he'd gone out into sin, and his life was the Lord. The devil was taking him for a ride. And we were praying for him, and we were seeking and asking the Lord. And I remember one day when I was down at the chapel there at Guthrie, I was praying for our son John. I said, Lord, please help him. And it just seemed like the Lord just made me to know that He's going to undertake. I just felt so comforted and strengthened that He's going to undertake for our son that was unsaved. And so it left long time, sometime after that, a few days, I got up in the night to pray, and I went out on the front of our house, front porch, driveway of our house, and it was in the middle of the night, and I was lifting my heart to the Lord, and I was just praying for our son. I'll tell you, dear ones, prayer changes things. Yes. We got to keep on praying. Yes. Don't give up praying. You might not be able to preach it, but you can pray it. You can. You can pray. Don't. And I'll tell you, when I got saved, I found out if I was going to keep saved, I had to be a praying man. That's what I found that out. I'll tell you, I'm glad I did, because it brought me through all kinds of battles and hard places and afflictions and troubles. Anyway, I was standing out there, just kind of standing, looking down the street, and I saw somebody coming down the street in the middle of the night. And he got and saw it was my son John. He was in trouble. He was in trouble. He had got in with some girl, and somehow, I don't know how the deal was, but they got into some kind of dope, and she got a hold of that, and then she got in bad trouble, and he had to get he fled. He was afraid he was going to be charged with that. And he was in trouble. I said, son, don't you see you need God? Don't you see that you need to get saved? I said, son, I told him what he had a motorcycle, and he liked that motorcycle. I said, you can keep your motorcycle. But I said, you need God. You need to get saved. But you know, I thank the Lord that struck him, that helped him to realize what his need was. Yes. And you know what? Not long after that, we came to Monarch Springs camp meeting. And we were sitting right over there, somewhere by where we are now. And John was standing up here, sitting on the front seat. And he'd come to the meeting. He wanted to get saved. And it was a night. I can't remember what the message was about, but it was a good service. And after the song, after the message they sang, began to sing a song, I could tell the Lord was working with him. He was standing there with his head kind of down. And anyway, finally after the songs is getting ready to dismiss, whoever was up here says, anybody here would like to ask for prayer, raise your hand. And my son John raised his hand. And you know what he did? He
beeline for that altar. Down he went at the altar. Oh, his life was changed. His life was changed. He knew that he needed God. He needed the Lord. John lived for the Lord. Oh, I thank the Lord for his goodness. I needed him too. I needed the Lord, and I still need him. I pray to him every day. I beg him. I got burdens. I got heavy things. I'm praying for souls to be saved. I need the Lord's working in my life. Oh, dear ones, do you pray? Pray, pray. You need the Lord. You need help. You need wisdom. You need guidance. You need strength. You need a touch of healing. Oh, I'm so glad we can trust in the Lord for our bodies. Oh, praise God. I'm so glad we can do that. That's no problem. That's no burden. He's our healer. He's our great high priest. He can help us in all of our troubles. May the Lord help and encourage us. You need Jesus. You need him. You should want him. You should desire him. You should seek him. You should pray to him because you need him. Jesus wants you too. Praise the Lord. May the Lord help us today. Oh, the poor and the needy, the helpless, the weak, the blind, the lame, the dumb, the help. Those are the people that really got somewhere with Jesus when he was here in the world. One day he came, you'll be finding in the 6th or 7th chapter of Luke, he came to a Pharisee's house. Pharisee asked him to come in and eat with him. So he came in, and while he was in there, a sinner woman, she was a sinner and she knew it. She knew that she needed to be saved, needed forgiveness and mercy. And she came in to that house where Jesus was and got down at his feet and began to weep. And she washed his feet with her tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head, anointed him with some ointment. She was didn't say she had said a word. It's just that she is weeping, and I'm sure she was pleading for mercy, because the Lord read her heart. And that old Pharisee, he looked her over and said, if he knew what kind of woman that was, he wouldn't let her touch him, because she's a sinner. Now, you know, that was the trouble with the leaders of Israel back in those days. They were wicked and sinful, but they didn't think they needed anything. And that's what this Pharisee, he thought he was all right. Boy, you wouldn't let her. I wouldn't let her touch me. She's a sinner. And Jesus asked him a question. He knew what his heart was. He knew what he was thinking. He said, Simon, I want to have something to say to you. Well, I said, all right, say on, Master. Said a certain creditor had two debtors. One owed him 500 pence and the other owed him 50. And when they didn't have any to pay, he just forgave both of them. Now he says, which one will love him the most? Well, Pharisee, he said, well, I suppose one that owed him the most. He said, you've rightly said. Now he says, you see this woman? He said, when I came in here, you never washed my feet. You never anointed me. But said, this woman washed my feet with her tears. And you never anointed me with any ointment. But said, this woman anointed me with the ointment. Now he says, this woman's sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. we need to seek the Lord. We need to call upon him. Oh, dear ones, Lord help us. And it says, this woman's sins, which many are forgiven, for those who have little forgiven don't love any. If you don't realize you need help, if you don't realize you need to be forgiven, you don't realize you need to be saved,
You're not going to get anything, and it's not going to mean anything to you. May the Lord help us today. Oh, we need the Lord. You need God. You need God. Young people, you need God to guide your life.
Yes.
You need to pray. You'd like to have a nice wife, wouldn't you, you boys? You girls would like to have a nice husband. Would you? Where are you going to get? Well, I'll find one somewhere. Yeah, you'll find one. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, this world is in an awful mess today because people don't see their need of God. And they're going their own way, doing their own thing, having their own pleasure, and they don't realize they need to pray and seek the Lord. You need, if you're going to have happiness, you've got to have to seek the Lord. And you've got to know how to wait on Him. Some people, you pray about something, if it don't happen right now, you give it up. Well, you got to do better than that. You got to keep on praying. Keep on begging. Keep on interceding. Amen. Keep on pleading to the Lord. Day after day. Keep on praying to Him. Oh, yes. That's what I did. That's what I did. I prayed and sought the Lord to guide me in my life and choosing a companion. I really did. I prayed, I sought the Lord. I prayed and prayed day after day. I kept holding it before the Lord. You need to do that too. You need to pray about things. Seek the Lord. Seek His guidance. If you'll pray earnestly and wait on Him, I'll tell you what the Lord will do. He'll work in your life. He really will. But if you don't try to seek Him, if you don't put yourself to Him and reach out and realize how poor and needy you are of His help, you're not going to get anything. Thank the Lord for His goodness. You need Him. If anybody wants to come down to this altar, it's open. If you need God, you need forgiveness. If you need mercy, if you need deliverance from sin in the world, if you need victory, if you got any kind of problem, pour it out before the Lord. The Lord will help you. May the Lord bless you is our prayer. Amen.